Right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be speaking with an individual who has a contest going at One Heavy Hitters, which takes place January the 14th. We have Saigid Ezagokmaev taking on James Nakashima, and happy to have James on the show once again. How's the day going so far, man?
Great. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, what are you getting up to today? I imagine a fair bit of training and stuff like that. Is that kind of the general rundown for you?
Yeah, I actually did something pretty cool this morning. I work with this this Eastern medicine lady. She's like my mental coach, kind of. And we went to this Hydrate IV bar and got like this IV fluids pumped full of like just vitamins and a bunch of cool stuff. So that's pretty cool.
Nice. Is that like a relatively newer thing you've integrated into the preparations, or have you been doing it for a little bit?
It's the first time I've done that Hydrate IV thing, but I've been working with this lady for about 3 years now.
Yeah, you seem like you have the comprehensive game in that regard, like just some of the lifestyle facets of being a fighter. I mean, can you speak to the importance of that as far as how that's benefited your game? Just some of those aspects, like you just outlined there, beyond the learning and galvanizing of technique.
Yeah, I mean, this lady has helped me out tremendously. Just in terms of just keeping my nervous system where it's supposed to be throughout camp and just throughout the entire year, and ever since we met her, and she's taught me a lot of ways to recover and just to think right. And I don't even know if I'd be still doing this game without her. I'm just such a bulldog, just going 150 miles an hour. And she's kind of had me, you know, really slow down and be aware and take care of myself, take time to take care of myself.
Yeah, it's good to have somebody like that in your corner there, because you've got that, you know, high level wrestler mentality from years back in the day and stuff like that. It's like maybe you need somebody to pump the brakes a little bit, and like you can't be going 100 every day.
Hell yeah.
Well, that's awesome to hear though, man. And it seems like in terms of like the training preparations and stuff like that, I was going through the Instagram and it seemed like Pedigo submission fighting was a place you were getting in work at. It seemed like you enjoyed your time at that gym there. Can you kind of talk about that?
Yeah. I love the Daisy Fresh guys. Those are my boys. I'm from Illinois. I grew up about 2 hours north of there. So my guy who I train jiu-jitsu with out here in Phoenix a lot, he told me about him. And because he had watched their documentaries and stuff, and he said I should stop by. So I stopped by back in March just for one day for a workout, and it was cool. I met Pedigo and some of the guys and just became acquainted. And then I was preparing for the IBJJF Worlds in Dallas in early October, and I went down to Daisy Fresh for a little two-week camp. And it's awesome. Me and my daughter would actually drive down, and we would camp out in this really nice area in Southern Illinois called Wren Lake. And we'd set up a little tent and camp, we'd train at Daisy Fresh, go back to the camp spot. And it was awesome.
That's sweet to make it like a family sort of thing there and whatnot. Like, is your daughter kind of at an age where she sort of understand what dad's job is, or is there still maybe not that comprehension as of yet?
I don't know. She kind of acts like she does. She always asks me, when I'm going back to Singapore, because that's where I've been the last two times. And yeah, I mean, she knows about the gyms and stuff, because she goes with me to the lab whenever I go in the mornings, and there's a daycare there, and she sees and stuff. But I mean, we were there at Daisy Fresh. She was the only kid there, and she'd sit there and have to watch me practice. And she's always around. She's funny. She calls it the stinky little gym. And we got to go back to the stinky little gym.
That's awesome. I love that there. But yeah, talking about going to Singapore a few times at this point, is there like a compounded level of comfortability as far as like being familiarized with your surroundings for the competition, or is there not so much that mentality when you go into it?
Yeah, there is. Like, especially with, it's a huge trip. So yeah, just being comfortable and familiar with the trip, like that's a big deal. But this whole Singapore thing to me is like, and it reminds me of my collegiate wrestling. I had trouble getting a home win at the University of Nebraska in the Coliseum. It took me a couple of years to finally get that home win. And And then actually when I first started my pro debut, I had a fight in Lincoln at the same arena that we used to wrestle in, and I won that fight against Chance Rencounter. So I feel like the Singapore, I've had trouble getting a win here, so I feel like that's the number one thing that's hanging on my mind is I got to go back and get this win, Singapore.
That's interesting. So there's almost like a compounded kind of effect from the previous, you know, title bid against Kiamrian Abasov and then the Shinya Aoki fight. Like there's a certain almost like redemptive component to this fight and as far as getting that victory in Singapore.
Exactly. Hell yeah. I like that.
I'm curious though as to, you know, what your thoughts were on the Aoki fight. Like obviously it didn't go your way in the binary of, you know, winning and losing as it were, but I imagine there's a certain level of invaluable experience you get being in there with someone who has the resume of Aoki. So like, what were your main, I guess, takeaways from that last one there?
Man, and nothing to take away from Aoki. He's an incredible MMA fighter, but I would love to have that fight back. I feel like I didn't show up for that fight. I feel like I took it too quick after that title fight, trying to chase my losses, and to go in there against somebody like Aoki, you got to be 150% ready to go. And I didn't show up. You know, it wasn't me. It was definitely a fluke, and that's why I needed to take this full year off and really, you know, just, you know, get back on the wagon, and I switched some things up and just getting comfortable again and getting ready to go out there and do me, because I don't, you know, the Abasov fight was nothing. Like, that's fine. I was winning that whole fight in my eyes, and I got clipped with the knee. You know, it was bad, but nothing like the Aoki fight was a disaster. That'll never happen again in my career. And that's like what we were saying about things that I learned is that I think that's the most important thing. If you're going to do this stuff, you got to be 150% ready. You know, you can't go in there, you know, I feel like I was underestimating Aoki, just taking that fight, you know, 5 weeks after my title fight, and then taking the fight on 5 weeks notice, short notice fight against Aoki. I think there's that underestimating, you know, there wasn't much game planning going into it. And looking back on that fight, I think Aoki really outsmarted me big time with just his whole game plan and what he was trying to do. Is just, I did, you know, for a little 3.5 minute fight, I took a lot away, and I just think that's kind of, it's just, you know, that's just what I am. I'm always trying to just suck in as much as I can.
Yeah, and you mentioned some of the things you were adding in this last year, like some of the newer things. Like, what were some of the other, I guess, newer, like, preparation components that were added in within the last year that you were kind of loosely talking about there?
The biggest thing I feel like has been, I mean, it's I've done a lot, man. Don't get me wrong, the lab is still my home base, and I train a lot at the lab, but I've reached out. I've used all the resources of Phoenix now. I used to, you know, I trained boxing with George Garcia for 7 years, and George is as good a boxing coach as I've ever had. I think he's the best boxing coach in Phoenix, but I had to leave him because I feel like I was limiting myself. I was limiting myself from just the other tools that I can use. When I first started this MMA, right, you know, I graduated college, or my last wrestling competition was in March of 2012, and I jumped right into Muay Thai competition in June of 2012. I had been cross-training a little bit of Muay Thai in college in Omaha with Kurt Padani, but I just feel like that's one thing that I did. Like, I switched, I stopped working with George. I reached out to a local Glory kickboxer, Nick Chastain, and it's just one-on-one work with him. And I feel like working kickboxing, working Muay Thai is much more effective in MMA because you're allowed to use all those limbs. Whereas I feel like I'm grateful for the time I spent with George in the Western boxing, but I just feel like it limited me a little bit, and it's not the game. Like, there's a specific game that's being played. And, you know, kickboxing and Muay Thai is in MMA, but I think it translates a lot better. But besides that, I think switching with the Glory kickboxer, another big, huge thing was I started doing jiu-jitsu, hard, pure competition jiu-jitsu rounds over at Timmy Welch and Sugar Sean's gym. and on Fridays. It's kind of where a lot of really good jiu-jitsu people meet up on Friday mornings at 10:30, and we just roll hard rounds for an hour. Augusto Tanquinho Mendez, he runs it, and Timmy's there, Sugar's there. There's a lot of good people that show up there, and like I was telling you about my jiu-jitsu guy earlier that introduced me to Daisy Fresh. What we would pretty much do is game plan the entire week for those Fridays over at Timmy's with my jiu-jitsu. Okay, be aware of the holes that happened on that Friday, some things that I need to address. And on Monday, we'll jump, you know, we're going to jump on it. We're going to start working it, working on them holes, addressing them. And, you know, Thursday, I remember a lot of Thursday nights from 5 to 7 o'clock, we spend an hour and a half, 2 hours just game planning for Timmy's the next morning and getting ready to, you know, compete hard. And I just feel like my jiu-jitsu and my grappling has grown so much over the last year from doing that. And then in October, like I said, I went out to the Worlds, and then I competed in another tournament, got six matches, and I competed in another tournament, got some high-level matches. I got 10 jiu-jitsu matches in a couple months. I feel like that was another big elevator. And I think I did some good things.
Yeah, so to that point, I'm kind of curious, like, how you're, I guess, perceiving this match coming up here, because facing an individual who's regarded as, like, someone very close to, you know, the Khabib Nurmagomedov camp, Eagles MMA. Like, I think there's a certain fixed idea people have of what fighting somebody like that would represent. So I'm kind of wondering, is some of the recent, obviously you want to grow your skills in a broader sense, but is some of the recent jiu-jitsu work maybe considerate of the fact that, like, okay, this guy might be doggedly trying to get me down, I should be able to have threats from the bottom there? Or is that wrestler mentality in place where you're almost not thinking of it like that, and maybe you'll impose your wrestling on him and show, like, the American permutation of it?
Yeah, I love that, because that's what I thought with the Gaethje Khabib matchup was, I was like, I believe in the American wrestler, and but obviously I was totally wrong. You know, Gaethje doesn't work any grappling, I guess, or I don't know, but it's just like, I feel like I kind of got away from my grappling looking back on it too, like I wasn't training as efficiently as I could have been over the last few years, and just, I didn't know about this opponent like this whole year, so I was just really just doing this stuff to improve myself against any opponent, let alone, you know, I feel like what you're saying, I feel like all this work is kind of going to definitely help to translate into this fight and this particular matchup. But I was just doing it just to try to get better, and I just, like, I definitely want to impose my grappling on him. You know, I don't, whether it's offensive, defensively, you know, I was just trying to find a way to get better. Those two losses, you know, really, really affected me a lot. And I had to, you know, I couldn't keep doing the same thing, I don't think. And just with the whole coronavirus and everything, just kind of just a little bit of a paradigm shift in my training and being aware of really how good was my grappling, how good is my stand-up. You know, you go train with the Glory Kickboxer, you find out real quick how good your stand-up is. You go train with Tanquinho Mendez and some of these really good grapplers that I've been training with, you find out how good your grappling is. So I just, you know, I made these changes, I was trying to get better, and I just stuck with them, and it seems like they're going to pay off.
Yeah, you talk about the pandemic initially kind of throwing the training for a loop a little bit. Like, are you still getting in work in that carport out in Phoenix there, or maybe that dynamic isn't the case now?
Hell yeah, absolutely. That's where me and my boy would be training on Tuesday and Thursday nights from like 5 to 7, 6 to 8, my carport, just game planning. We're still doing it right now. It's all about Seged right now, though. You know, that's where I get my light technique work in. It's in the carport and the game planning. And same thing with stand-up. I got a stand-up guy, a young amateur at the lab, about to make his pro debut. We do the same thing, with just real light technical work in my carport. I feel like that's the meat and potatoes, you know, especially looking back on this year of where my game has come. Like, that's my time to create and to think, and that's some of the most valuable time I get to.
Yeah, it seems like the refinement of the fight IQ has been a big thing in the last year, and that's really intriguing considering the skills and just what you were able to bring to the table previously. But it seems like you're well positioned in this fight, just in the sense of, you know, Saeed being a hotly buzzed about debutant opponent in the one circle. Like, is this a fight that you see positioning yourself fairly well in the lightweight hierarchy at all, or is there not even that macro kind of focus in terms of like how the division's laid out and you're just blinders on with this upcoming fight?
Yeah, you know me, I got blinders on, but man, I would love to get another shot at Aoki before anything. Title fight, anything. I want that Aoki fight back.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a curious one to run back for sure, because yeah, like the way the first fight played out, it didn't necessarily, I think, show the full skill set that both of you guys have. So I think a sequel affair could look a great deal different should that get booked.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And yeah, just been a, you know, fun endeavor to follow along with. Like, just, are you still looking at the general lightweight talent pool overall, though? Because a little bit of a shakeup since the last time we talked, with Okre Yoon kind of being in the top of the category now. Like, obviously, Christian Lee still very much a fixture. Like, I guess I'm wondering, how are you feeling being in more of a, I guess, natural weight category for yourself, as opposed to like the previous kind of efforts fighting at more of a North American middleweight kind of limit more so?
Yeah. I know where I'm at. I know what a win over this Russian means. And the whole getting down to the weight, and that was another thing with the Aoki fight. You know, I just kind of winged the whole weight thing, you know, five weeks or, you know, whatever, a month and a half before, 2 months before that Aoki fight. You know, I was fighting at 185 pounds, and I just winged the weight cut down to that for the Aoki fight. After that fight, my friend told me I needed to get a nutritionist. He bought the first couple sessions for me. Henry Corrales, Bellator fighter, he bought the first couple sessions of this nutritionist he really believed in for me. And I've just been riding with her for the last year, and we've slowly gotten my weight down to where, you know, I'm walking around perfectly. Now the weight cut won't even be something that I'll be thinking about going to Singapore. So
yeah, Henry Corrales is a great guy to have in one's camp. Seems like a very helpful kind of guy in a lot of different regards, and seems like he has a pretty nuanced understanding of all the different facets of the game and all that.
Yeah, he's helped me out in a lot of ways more than that, too.
And I feel like I know the answer to this just based on the previous kind of question that I asked, but like certain people, when they're, you know, getting ready to get into the new calendar year, just sometimes create like resolutions, like broader kind of goals for the year. Is there a set of goals you have in place for 2022, or just again blinders on with this fight? I mean, I imagine the Aoki rematch would be a part of that, but do you have like a general, I guess, scope of 2022 as far as things you would like to achieve?
Yeah, I do. You know, like we said before, you know, it's all about the Russian right now. In terms of the MMA and a fight beyond this, like I'm not too focused on that. Me and my family, we're gonna move to Italy in 2022. That's a big deal. We're gonna go out. I'm gonna go train with Petrosian. But besides the training, it's deeper than that. I have a 4-year-old daughter. You know, I think to expose her to Italian culture for a couple of years, for myself for a couple of years, my girlfriend, just think it would be a really strong experience to go over there. We'd like to, our goal is 2 years, you know, but I don't like setting stuff in stone, because you know how life is, who knows, you know, we could end up being there for 5 years. I don't know, I just, that's a big goal of mine. So right after this Russian fight, you know, I got to get cracking down on learning my Italian. I can already speak a little bit of Spanish, so. And when I spent 3 months over in Italy with Petrosian before the COVID, I had been working on my Italian quite a bit, so it's not terrible. But yeah, I got some big things coming up in 2022.
That's really cool, man. How long has that been on the radar for you, like moving over to Italy and everything?
Ever since I met Petrosian, you know, and I seen how they do their gym. They just have a little tiny gym over there. It's Petrosian and Armin and maybe about 10, 12 other fighters, you know, 10 kickboxers and like two other MMA fighters. One of them, Yuri Lapikus, he fights for ONE. He's a good friend of mine. But Yeah, I mean, realistically, though, we've been buckling down. Like, we just was wondering what's going on with this COVID stuff. And that's kind of, you know, like, I would say within, like, the last 6 months, we've really come down to, like, a date where we want to do it. You know, we definitely want to get it done by 2022, but it'd be nice if we could get there by June. You know, so that's, it's getting there.
Well, it seems like it's right in line with the kind of growth that you've been looking at least from our last few conversations. Like, the stand-up has obviously been a big focus, and Petrosian huge in that regard, obviously. His resume is second to none. And working with a guy like Yuri Lapikus, a great body type in the sense of, like, a top-ranked lightweight contender there. So it seems like all the boxes are being checked off professionally and personally there.
Yeah. Yeah, I that's the thing, like, especially before this year, before the coronavirus, I believed in my grappling strongly. But, I mean, I've done so much work over the coronavirus, and especially this last year with my grappling, I really, really believe in my grappling a lot. You know, me and my boy, my jiu-jitsu guy, you know, a lot of the stuff that we do is all John Danaher stuff. We watch his videos. We go apply it in out in my carport or wherever, and I feel like, you know, I just feel like Danaher's by far the best in the game right now, best coach in the game. I feel like he's kind of just taken jiu-jitsu to a whole nother level. I feel like Nogi jiu-jitsu is exploding, is absolutely exploding right now. Like, even just like MMA, you know, I kind of feel like Gi jiu-jitsu is, like, I don't know, I just feel like that's kind of like the old ages now. I just feel like, I don't know, but yeah, I don't even remember what we were talking about.
Well, it's cool to see the submission grappling growing. I think you even kind of see it with some of the relatively recent one signees too. Like, they have, like, Gordon Ryan in a deal where he's concurrently doing submission grappling and also looking to do MMA there. So is that something maybe under the one banner you'd be interested in doing too? Like, if they offered you, say, like, a big name value grappler in a super fight context, or solely just MMA, you're thinking?
Yeah, that would be awesome. I think that would be sick, super fight. That's what I was going to say about that previous question. Is like, I believe 110% in my grappling. And especially with this matchup, there's going to be some big points in this fight when it comes down to the grappling. And I just feel like the move to Petrosian's, like, it's time for that, because that will be where I'll be able to really take my stand up to the next level and learn, you know, from the greatest of all time. And I can kind of tweak my grappling as I go. And, you know, I got Lapikus there to help. And I just, we were talking about that move. I just think, yeah, like you're saying, like, it is the right time. It's perfect timing, right along with the path I'm moving towards.
Yeah, for sure. And just one of the last questions I had here, because earlier on in the chat, I mentioned some of the stylistic similarities with Khabib and Saeed Izagokhmayev. And I feel like certain people share in that perception too. But just in terms of what you've been able to see from his previous fights, just studying tape, like what your coaches have been able to see, like, does he have certain, I guess, skills, stylistic proclivities that maybe exist beyond that kind of, you know, broad stroke characterization that he's like a Saeed, or rather a Khabib kind of, you know, duplicate almost? Like, does he have skills that you've noticed that exist outside of that description, I suppose?
Yeah, I think he's a little bit more well-rounded. I don't think you can compare anybody's grappling to Khabib. I think Khabib's one of the greatest grapplers to do it. So I think to compare anybody's grappling to him is kind of silly, but I think his stand-up is a little bit better than Khabib. But I think also, like, the mentality, I think he takes a lot of that away from that, from Khabib too. Like, I see a lot of pressure fighting. I see a lot of, like, you know, owning positions, not giving up positions. But I think they're similar, but I think they have a little bit. I think this guy likes to stand a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see how this fight plays out, just with his, you know, stand-up acumen and just hearing what you've been working on and everything like that. I think it's a very well-matched fight there, but I want to be mindful of your time and everything, man. I appreciate you coming on the show and all, but I'm kind of wondering if maybe there's anything you'd like to add kind of as a parting thought as we're wrapping up here.
Just like to thank everybody, thank my team, thank Nick, thank the lab, thank Sugar Sean and Tim for the opportunity to train over there. Done a lot of work to my game over the last year. Thank my family for supporting me, and I love this stuff. I'm excited for this fight. It's been a good year off. I needed the year, and I appreciate everybody's support throughout it.
Yeah, I was excited for this fight prior to talking to you, but that's compounded even more so just hearing what you've been working on in the year since the last go around there. And people can check out this next fight, One Heavy Hitters, January 14th. We have Saeed Izagokmaev taking on James Nagashima. And yeah, to reiterate, thanks again for coming on the show and giving insights, man. It's always fun chatting. And yeah, best of luck with the remaining part of the preparations, and have a good rest of your day too.
Thank you, you too.